Blog Talk Radio.
Song is a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and sung by the poet Shout Evenshai. It's a song that we open most of the shows with, and it's just as great as a poem as it came out as a song. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, and we all hang out at one of the largest poetry sites you can find out there, which is allpoetry.com. We do nightly shows, different times, different hosts, different topics, and once a week on either a Friday or a Saturday, we have open poetry. You can find the topic boards for the shows in the chat room, A Team of Voices, which you can find at allpoetry.com under the group tabs. And if you knock on the door, I'll meet you there. In the chat room, we post the links to the show so that you can click on and follow along and comment. Above the chat wall is those topic boards I mentioned, and each one starts with the date of the show. And if you click on it, you'll find out who's hosting that night, what their prompt is, and if it tickles your muse, we'd love to hear from you. You can call and read. You can request a reader. Or you can send us a sound clip by MP3, MP4, YouTube, SoundCloud. and we'll be happy to play your song for you so long as we have email permission. And with that said, tonight's topic is some really cool stained glass art that I found. Some of them are so stunning, I can't wait to see where the poets took their work. And we are listened to in 75 countries around the world. Can't believe it, 75 countries. And with that said, I guess we will get this show on the road because the studio's getting crowded. The first two callers are board members from A Team of Voices and our sponsor. My co-host is my big brother, Jay Hatter, who is a board member. Hey, Hatter.
Hello. Hello, hello. Tick on my muse.
And we also have our sponsor and another board member, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P., welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing okay. A little bit hectic at the moment, but I'm catching my breath. And I know you're pressed for time, so if you want to put your link on the board while I let the rest of the callers in, that would be great.
Yeah, cool.
And right behind AP is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Glad things
Good
worked out. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone.
And right behind Mr. Wayne Gent is none other than the creator of the Dark Mother, Mr. D.W. Prophet, who I call David. Welcome to the show, David. Glad you're here.
Oh, thank you, Deb. What a treat. I love this show.
I'm glad to hear it. And we have some excellent poems coming up because they always are. And I am headed to the chat wall so that we can click on AP's poem because he's off. It's a work day for him, and he's off to do some work. So, AP, show us what you got.
Thank you, Doug. Great set of images there. This is Kaleidoscope in the French form of a Villanelle, one of my favourite forms. And it goes a little bit like this. Here a wild kaleidoscope flies, wingtips beating fast already. Periwinkle and aqua rise. In emerald green, glassy skies, antenna hover is ready. Here a wild kaleidoscope flies. Pattern as they weave, brightly ties, a froth of wings in hues heady. Periwinkle and aqua rise. As tripping through wings aloft spies their circles and gentle eddy. Here a wild kaleidoscope flies. By dash of clouds a scene arise within the wings and swarm steady. Periwinkle and aqua rise. Colour and movement is the prize. Dotter butterflies unsteady. Here a wild kaleidoscope flies. Periwinkle and aqua rise. Impulse.
You know, you captured the colors beautifully in this, and of course, you can't go wrong when you include my periwinkle in there. I like how the wild kaleidoscope flies, wings tips beating fast already, periwinkle and aqua rise. I just the scene in each stanza as you trickle down your eight-syllable lines is just stunning. The antenna hover is ready. A froth of wings and hues, heady. I mean, gorgeous wording. I like, where's that? As tripping through wings aloft spies their circles and gentle eddy, here a wild kaleidoscope flies. These always come out so gorgeous, and you make it seem like they're easy, but I know they're not. And the thing is, I've lost count of how many of these you've done. But I know they're one of your specialties, and it's absolutely gorgeous from start to finish. The vivid imageries match the stained glass that you chose totally. And, I mean, I'm sure everybody in the room and the listeners know that I am partial to butterflies, so, you know, you can't go wrong all the
yes.
way around. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous piece. Let me get you some comments. Hatter. What do you think?
Yeah, my browser's stuck. I'm going to have to call back in. I wasn't able to follow. Sorry. I got to call back in.
Okay.
That's
I'll pick you back up when I see you back in. Wayne, what you think? Dropped Wayne, too. I wonder what's up with the studio. All right, let me get a comment from David while the guys dial back. David, what you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. I like the storyline because it's really uplifting and it's kind of magical in a way. And that's kind of the essence of this banner picture, you know. And it, of course, you always get lots of points with Deborah Lee if you mention butterflies or have them in your poetry. So that's cool, too.
Yes.
I like butterflies myself. You know, I just... I really like the way you guys from Australia think. I really do. And AP and I had a little bit of a chat about this.
Yeah, we did.
A while ago. And I think America and Australia are really good partners in the world, and I hope we always stay that way. So I really like this poem, AP, by the way.
No, thank you, Doug. Cheers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back.
Awesome. And Wayne, I don't know, did you get to hear AP read? Can you comment on his poem?
First I'll take it off mute off. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong. I've been I'm kind of stiff this morning, this evening. But anyway, you said the word kind of spoke so well in this poem that I like the way you read it. I like the continuous rhyme of the word eyes, even though you don't have eyes in there. I like the continuous rhyme in his poem. You had good rhythm in the poem. You read it wonderfully, and I enjoyed it all the way through. Yeah, it was a good poem. Good job, AP.
Nah, thanks, Watt. Cheers.
Awesome comment. And Hatter has not dialed back, AP, so I guess it's safe to just go ahead and get to your job.
Thank you.
Running the world. And talk soon.
Hatter just mad because you beat him.
I'm sorry?
Hatter just mad because AP beat him in football.
Oh, that could be that. You're right, Wayne. It definitely could be that. But we still have a second half of the game to go, so
there's,
we shall see.
There's still 25 minutes to go, so I'm not going to count any chickens until they're hatched because Hatter seems to find strange, weird, wonderful ways of winning from strange, weird, and wonderful positions.
You're right,
that's right.
We'll do the chicken dance when the game ends.
That's exactly right. You never, as I said, you never count the chickens until they're well and truly past the 2-minute warning. That's it.
Very, very true.
Good luck.
All right, well,
so,
I
fingers
will...
crossed. Anyway, we'll see how we go.
All right, don't work too hard.
Thank you. Okay, talk soon, everybody.
Hey, my man.
Okay, bye.
Okay, now, Wayne, you said you're back in tip-top shape, so you're going to hang out for a while. Is that the case?
Yeah, I'm here. I went to sleep today after I got through more than 2 yards, and I laid on my arms and fell asleep. Well, my arms were numb when I woke up. I couldn't move them. I couldn't type. I couldn't hardly move my hands, so I thought, well, I'm dying here. But I probably got loosened up, and I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, my thing is, you know, sometimes I think that you overdo it, especially when you're trying to do something nice for somebody else. And, like, every now and then you got to try to put yourself first and maybe take it a little easier and don't work so hard.
It was perfect out there today. It was, like, 68 degrees and nice little cool breeze. And I just kept on working because it felt so good out there. And I just overdid it a little bit. And I'll grow up and learn one of these days.
Wow, that does sound gorgeous. Well, when I came this morning, I guess it was – around 9:30 this morning, there was still frost everywhere, and it was shivering cold. And then it got into the 50s. But, I mean, just last week we were having high 60s and low 70s. Now we're back to freezing, and we go back and forth. But that's New Jersey. It's how it goes all the time. So you never know.
It's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow here, and that's kind of amazing for November.
Yeah, it's been high temperatures this year, strangely. So we shall see. But in the meantime,
fine.
Hatter is back. I let him in. So, hey, Hatter.
Hey. Hopefully this will work.
Now, I am about to put Heavenly Angel's poem on the board and read for her. AP had to leave to go rule the world, and we were talking about seeing how the game goes at the end there. All right. Tell me when you see Angel's poem.
I am still stuck. I got to do this again.
I see it.
Okay. You have to hang up again or just, like, try to refresh, Hatter? Okay, that answers my question. He just hung up. All right, so while he does that, I will read. And you got it, Dave?
Yeah, I got it.
There you go. Dave, I keep forgetting to ask you, do you like when I introduce you as the creator of the Dark Mother?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
I'm putting her in more and more of my poetry, as you all know. Yeah, that's fine, Deb. That's fine. Or you can use Storyteller if you want. I don't care. Either one's fine with me.
Well, one time or another during the night, I used both, but I thought it was pretty cool since, I mean, you know, we are, like you just said, we are all starting to get to know her, so I don't know anybody else that's created a character and stuck with her for as many years as you have, so figured it was time.
Okay,
to...
yeah, that's fine, Deb. I like that
cool.
idea. Yeah, sure.
Cool. All righty. Well, this poem is called In Homage to My Sunflower, and it's by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. I remember counting out the last beats of those sunflower days. How her soft, velvety petals began withering. Sweet sunflower slowly bowed down, struggling to get past the brokenness. My sunflower returned to her creator April 11th, 2021. For those that mourn, or those are sad mornings dressed in sweet sunflowers, have the power to heal with timeless elegance and beauty. I often sit and gaze at your photograph just to get through each passing day. And when I spot the occasional sunflower or inhale its energetic aroma, matronly love remains. I smile through glass tears knowing my sunflower blooms eternally. And I didn't have to look at her, I'm sorry, Anne Palm, but I didn't have to look at her author's notes. Halfway, actually when it said my sunflower returned to her creator April 11th, 2021, I knew that that sunflower was a symbolism for her mom, possibly her favorite flower. I love how she looked at this art and it took her to her mom and she ran with it. I often sit and gaze at your photograph just to get through each passing day. And when I spot the occasional sunflower or inhale its energetic aroma, matronly love remains. It's just gorgeous. It speaks of how a sight or a sound or a scent can take you on a journey. It's like the actual sight of that flower and the scent tickling her nostrils was a time machine that took her. And you could just imagine the beautiful memories that went through her mind as she inhaled the scent. I think that this is a beautiful tribute. And I know from personal sad experience that loss never, ever goes away. It gets a little easier to deal with. And sometimes even easier to smile about the memories than cry over the loss, but it's never gone, and the world's never the same once you lose your mom and your dad, and I've lost both, so I feel her here. What a beautiful tribute to the art, to her mom, and to the word of poetry. My honor to read for you, Angel. Let me get you some comments. Wayne, what do you think?
Appreciate your button this time. That's a wonderful metaphor and tribute to your mother, Heavenly. Your mother has to be smiling from above and happy for having such a remarkable daughter. You are a mother's dream, Heavenly. And great poem. Sunflowers are so amazing also. God bless you, Heavenly, and have a nice day. Thank you.
Beautiful comment. And David?
Oh, this was a beautiful poem. Wow. I mean, it's just, it's funny how something that's not even directly related to something else brings back memories. That's exactly what happened with my poem tonight. And I think that might be, you know, popular theme with a lot of writers tonight. I don't know, but it sure was with this one. And, you know, Angel has such a way of, you know, telling us what's in her heart and her soul. And I just love that. I think it's really great. That's what makes her such a great poetess, I think. Really well done. Really well done.
Awesome comment, David. And Hatter?
I wasn't able to hear. I might still have issues here.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just didn't want to skip you.
Okay.
Still not loading for you?
Oh, stuck. I'll have to reboot.
All right. Okay, I am going to grab the next poem. Let me check the studio real quick. Okay, now let me come over here and see. Recording, needs a reader. I'll probably have Dave do that. Okay, I can't take the anticipation any longer, so I'm going to get Wayne so I can find out what he did with this recording. So,
hope you all enjoy it.
I have no doubt we will. We always do, Wayne. You guys tell me when you see his link.
Don't see it yet. There it is.
Yeah, it's up. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to push play, and we can see what we got here.
This is Kong. Do you need a butterfly? The sound of broken stained glass and alarm sounds. Good thing the police were making their rounds. Every day, out in the streets, trying to protect, saving life, limb, and property with little respect. Would somebody call me the police? Carrying a badge, wearing a big bold blue. If they live, they go back home, worn out when through, riding around in their targeted squad cars, while the bad guys do evil for hours and hours. Where's the police? It's a stressful life out in the streets trying to serve. Respond to murder and robberies takes nerve. And listening to drug addicts say things they don't deserve, and picking up bodies from drivers who missed the curve. Over the last 2 years, the careers have gotten stained, but honorable officers stood in line and remained. Late at night, watching neighborhoods on patrol, trying to stop the crooks from stealing your bankroll. It's not easy catching bad guys and placing them under arrest. Everything the police do, they have to pass the test. Not getting praise when they do their very best, and being ridiculed when they're just wanting some rest. Allowing the citizens at night to get a peaceful sleep, give people a safe place where security they can keep. Next time your stained glass gets broken and you need to die and you might die, pick up the phone, call a monarch butterfly. Never saw a butterfly with a billy club nor a gun, but I have seen a gangster kill for fun. Next time might be you that's the one. And what are you going to do? Call the police or run? in.
Call me the police.
Wayne. Okay, for one thing, you have me sitting here jamming to the Beatles as you were reading, which was very cool. Never saw a butterfly with a billy club nor gun, but I have seen a gangster kill fun. Next time it might be you. That's the one. What you doing? What you going to do? Call the police or run? I thought that was really clever. And back further, of course, next time your stained glass gets broken or you might die, pick up the phone and call a monarch butterfly. You went totally unexpected. I can't talk now. You went totally unexpected with this, but it came out really, really cool. And then I'm trying to speak. I'm reading your author's notes there. Only doing 60 and a 35? Well, darn. What was he thinking? Too cool. And the sound of broken stained glass and alarm sounds. Good thing police were making their rounds. Every day out in the streets, trying to protect, saving life, limb, and property, with little respect. I was wondering, you know, if somebody would choose this for one, and then if they would go with a happy angle or a sad angle or a memory. And here, you tickled my muse with your words. Like I said, I'm giggling away with some of the stuff in here. You are one of a kind, Wayne, absolutely one of a kind, and, like, this came out awesome.
Appreciate it.
Dave, what you think?
Oh, I tell you, I agree with everything you said about this, Deborah. It's a fantastic poem. I always like Wayne's stuff because he usually, most of the time, mixes some humor in with it, and this had... never saw a butterfly with a billy club nor gun. I like that. And, you know, it's true. I wouldn't be a cop for all the tea in China. I admire these guys, but they take so much shit nowadays. It's unbelievable. And you can't even pull somebody over for a traffic violation or a vehicle violation without them just going all, you know, crazy on you, and the police don't deserve that, you know, and all these people are saying defund the police and all this kind of monkey business. They'd be the first one in line to complain if they got robbed. So anyway, I really like this, Wayne. I thought you did a really good job with it, and I agree with Deb when she says the route that you took this was very unique, and I think it is too. So well done, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
I'm muted.
Yo, Deb.
Deb. Are you
Hatter? I was wondering why you weren't answering me. I said, I see you're back. Any luck getting your phone loaded?
I rebooted everything, and hopefully every time I go into all poetry, it hangs up. Anybody else having that problem?
No.
It's my phone.
No.
Okay.
I really don't know, though, because I always work from my laptop and not my phone. But as far as I can tell, it seems like everything's okay.
But
I don't know.
As long as I can.
Did you finish your poem, Hatter?
You know, picture I picked, I was going to do from the song "A Horse with No Name." I was going to have a horse with blue mane. It was so stupid. Oh. It's not going to see this. It's not going to see this light of day. It's not.
Okay, well then, that's not a problem. That's happened to me before, and I have decided, nope, not happening. And So I'm trying to decide who has to go after Wayne after that presentation there. But I think what I will do is I will read for LG Mace. So if you guys click on there and let me see what her art was. I don't remember, so that I can let you guys
know. Here
I go.
I'm going to go into archives and see what happens.
Okay. And I'm going to put the art she wrote to on the chat wall so that you can look at it as I read for her.
It's still there. I can't follow along.
Okay. Well, try to maybe hear something that you can comment on. Okay, so take a peek at the chat wall, and you shall see the poem that, or I'm sorry, the art that she wrote to. And this poem is called The Age of Aquarius by L.G. Mace. And here we go. The seahorse assembled in colors of ivory, touch of amethyst, but mostly aquamarine. He lives deep in the ocean amidst the coral reefs, beyond saltwater's bleachy sands, within waters of turquoise and emerald green, within the living waters of dolphin and whale, amongst the seaweed gardens with seashells where moray eel and giant red grouper regale. Friend to sea anemone and tiny reef dwelling, shrimp, the seahorse reigns on the age of Aquarius and all its fine stained glass design. Of the zodiac calendar, the age of Aquarius and its artful little seahorse, what an artfully creative intellectual sign. End of poem. It was a cool title choice there, The Age of Aquarius. And I like that she mentioned that he lives deep in the ocean amidst the coral reefs, beyond salt waters, beachy sands. And it instantly made me come, you can do this. It instantly made a news report that I see on the news recently come into my mind, how I'm sure you've all seen where different scientists and even some of the deep sea tours where they take you down to show you the reef, you can also go down and tie on, I guess the best word would be sprouts, to the coral reefs because we're, of course, trying to save it. And the news report, according to it, said that many of the implants that they've put have sprouted and are growing and are multiplying and spawning spores and sending out more. And I think that's fantastic because the change of temperature from the weather is killing it off. And, I mean, you know, the Great Barrier Reef is a really important thing. So her poem made me think of the strides that they're taking in trying to save that. And I like the visuals that she put through here with the thoughts of the dolphins and the whales amongst the seaweed and the seashells and the moray eel, just a whole lot of visual overload to make your head explode with gorgeous imagery. I think it was an excellent brevity, and it was my honor to read for her. And without having to quote a line, what you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I like I don't know how that got screwed up, the Age of Aquarius. Some say that we've been in the Age of Aquarius. Some say we're just now going into it. I don't know. I did a little research on the Age of Aquarius, and I don't know who decides that. But this is a great piece. She did really well with the references to the moray eel and the dolphins. Very good. I'm sorry I don't have it sitting in front of me.
No, that's okay. Great comment. And Wayne, what do you think?
I said I love the title, and I love the song too. Remember the song that came out? I love to see a seahorse alive. This poem is wonderful. When you said an artful, creative, intellectual sign is a nice description of the seahorse, and the prop was represented well in this poem. Nice little brevity, LG. Good job. I'm gonna listen to the song after the show goes off tonight. I mean, want to hear the song. You remember it?
The fifth dimension, Marilyn McCoo.
Yeah, the fifth dimension. It was a great song back in the day.
Very cool. Awesome comment. Thank you. And Dave, what?
Oh, I think this is really good. I like the all of the references to sea life and just being in the water. I'm a Pisces, and so I'm really at home in the water. I really am. I love being in it and swimming and stuff. This really appealed to me, and it's really well written too. I can tell this lady's intelligent just by the way she used her words and the way she put them together. And I think the title does the poem a lot of justice, and it also does the banner picture a lot of justice too. So LG Mesa, I like your work. Well done.
Great comment. So now this picture. I've been waiting to see what Dave did with it. The sake of openness here, I sent him a message and I said, Dave, take a peek at my topics because there's a picture there I think that you'll love before anyone else grabs it. And of course, I didn't tell him which one because I don't want him to think that he had to write to the one I'm mentioning. So he says to me, yeah, you know me well. And he picked this amazing picture. And I can't wait to see what he did with it. So, Dave, show us what you...
Oh, okay. Let me refresh my screen here. Let's see where we're at. Okay. This one's called Harley Under Glass. And when I started writing, I didn't know where I was going to go with it. And then all of a sudden I got this idea, and I just developed it. And people... I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I know a lot of people have. You run into somebody and they just click with you. And whether it's a man or a woman, doesn't make any difference. You don't have to work and being friends with them. They just jive with you really well. And I've known a couple of guys like that. Anyway, this one's called Harley Under Glass. Harley Davidson V-twin, captured in black steel, cast in polished aluminum, gleaming chromium. To every piece that might rust, 780 pounds of cruising and style, has its own voice, runs along in a syncopated bass clef time signature. You can hear it coming from a mile away, mostly from a mufflerless exhaust system. Most folks don't mind its volume. An American signature, like apple pie and Chevrolets, like American muscle cars or our flag. I had a motorcycle buddy named Marvin. He had an 88 twin cam night train just like mine, black as coal, black as night. Marvin and I rode together all the time. He was easygoing and funny. I trusted him with my life. He trusted me with his. Marvin was not reckless with his scooter. Neither was I. Just a couple of old hog riders. That was us. Marvin always had a strange light behind them Irish green eyes. There was something extra inside Marvin, brightly rugged, handsome man. If and I dare say that about another man, the lady surely could see it. I finally figured it out one day. One of Marvin's lady admirers told me about it one day, just off the cuff. She said Marvin kind of looked like his Harley, all mechanical, chrome and polish. Had two chrome incisors, one on each side, kind of reminded me of the Xenomorph, if you know what that might be. Midnight hair swept straight back from all the wind Marv endured without a windshield on his hog that he'd never stood for. One night, my Harley brother left my place, and I told him, be careful riding, bro. He said, no other way, my brother. Marv's Harley chugging out to the 26. I heard it go rip, rip five times into the midnight blackness. Marv's scooter sounded so good, even though it's just like mine, different somehow. Some drunk hit Marvin head on. I found out the next morning. Marvin's riding days were done. He died inside his Harley, twisted and broken, the both of them. A week later, I smelled gunpowder and cotton candy, my queen inside my bedroom. Diamond tears in her limitless eyes. David, my man, I'm sorry about Marvin, the brother you never had. So I put his soul into this picture. She produced a large stained glass window that glowed with all the supernova in the universe. I could feel Marvin's smile radiating from it. I hung it up in my living room playing guitar one night. I heard Marvin say to me, "Sounds good, David. I'm fine, bro. Don't worry about me." End poem.
Well, Dave, almost got me crying here. How I stopped myself from crying was to think that...
I can't hardly hear you, Deb.
Any better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. I was saying that it almost made me cry, but then I had to say to myself that if he had to go, that probably would have been how he would want to, you know what I mean? Riding with the wind,
mm-hmm.
and then being gone. And then you got me, though, with the Dark Mother putting it into the picture for you. Like the love and tenderness towards you that it would take for her to do something like that. I wasn't sure where it would take you, but I love that it took you to a dear friend. Marvin and I rode together all the time. He was easygoing and funny. I trusted him with my life. He trusted me with his. And, like, just that stanza alone speaks volumes of the friendship between the two of you. And when you set us up to hear, you had said about how you meet someone and it just clicks. And that's a gift, you know, that you don't get. Not everybody has a friend that they just instantly click
yeah.
with, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. The time that you got with him was priceless. I bet for some reason when you got to the part where it said, Marv's scooter sounded so good, even though it's just like mine, different somehow. And then it says, some drunk hit Marv head on. And my heart fluttered for a minute there. And then the cynical part of me said, yeah, and I bet you that the drunk person didn't get a scrape. Because quite often, that's what happens. The drunk who shouldn't have been on behind the wheel or on the bike to begin
mm-hmm.
with comes out unscathed, and we lose an innocent person just because they couldn't be bothered to call a friend or nowadays call an Uber, you know?
Yep.
That part of the story is tragically far too common. And like I said, it's usually not the drunk that's hurt. But again, like I said, Dave, I'm really touched by the fact that you smelled her perfume and she made the art for you. I'm really sorry about the loss of your friend. And this is a very emotional poem that you totally did justice to your friend and to that art. And, let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think?
Dave, do me a favor. Describe Marvin for me. How tall was he? How big was he?
Oh, he was about 6 feet, about like me, about 225 pounds. Had a scar on his face, had green eyes, kind of a hooked nose, sort of, but he was just a nice-looking guy. I'm not, yeah,
no.
I don't like men, but, you know, he was just a nice guy, you know, thin, broad-shouldered, you know, funny. When he look at you, his eyes would kind of light up, you know. He had sort of a magical light on eyes, you know, light his eyes kind of like the Irish do. And he had these really green eyes and used to joke around about him all the time. Used to make fun of himself and you know, and the way he rode, he was a damn good rider. He was better than me. You know, and it was just a really easygoing guy. You could sit around and drink beer with him all night, and he was just a blast, you know. And I don't know, there was just nothing about that guy that put me on edge ever.
Yeah, I've lost a few friends the same way. And for some reason, accidents happen to people, and they're sort of accepted. But the one when they're killed on a bike, it seems like it's not supposed to be that way for some reason to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me too.
And you did very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment.
Did.
I did it again. I'm talking to the mute button. I agree in a way that it probably isn't supposed to be that way, but again, I still feel like in my heart, from his perspective, if he had to go, he was doing something he loved at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a sad story. Wayne, what do you think?
I think it's a great point, but you can tell Harley from every other bike by the sound, by the cylinder sound. Harley riders are a cool breed. They stick together and they stand their ground. Marvin sounds like a nice guy. Hate to hear about his demise. Bikers live and die free. Great point with lots of emotion in this. I've had several friends lose their lives on bikes. Most of the time it wasn't their fault. Great ending to this poem. May Marvin rest in peace. Good job, Dave.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Yeah. You know, Marvin was, you know, Panner asked me about what he looked like, and I forgot to mention that he always had this 5 o'clock shadow on his face, you know, and sometimes he'd grow one of these Fu Manchu things on his face. And then sometimes he'd just cut it all off and I'd ask him about it. And he'd make some funny joke or crack about it, you know, and we'd both laugh, you know, and once in a while, Marvin had, I don't know, several girlfriends, but, once in a while he'd bring one of them along and he was always a gentleman around her, always, you know, and he'd always help her on and off the scooter and fasten her helmet for her and all that stuff, you know, and I really admired that about him. He was really a gentleman. And
Can you give us his last name?
Huh?
Can you give us his last name?
What? Letter of his last name.
What's that?
I was asking What nationality was he? Was he it sounds like he was a bluebeard, like Greek, Italian?
No, I think he was Irish. You know,
Irish.
I really do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was, good. You know, a lot of the Irish people, not all Irish people have red hair, you know. A lot of them have just jet black hair, you know, and green eyes
green
and
eyes.
Stuff, you know. He was just a really fun guy to be around, and he liked my guitar playing too. He'd sit around the house with me, and if we were just sitting in the living room or something, he'd say, "Hey, man, pick up your guitar, play me something. You know, what have you been doing? Show me, you know." And so I'd pick it up and start playing for him, you know, and he'd always tell me how good it sounded, even if it didn't. He was a great guy, really was, and it broke my heart when he died. And, you know, a lot of times he'd bring his scooter over and be all dirty and stuff. And so we'd take both of them out there and the side in front of my shop and wash them and spend about 2 hours polishing all the chrome and stuff on them, you know. And then he said, "Now what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to go out and ride them, you know." And so then we'd go out and ride around all over the place, you know. So yeah, it was fun. He was cool.
Awesome.
I think both of you were.
Yeah.
I don't know
about
me, but he sure was.
I really like the fact that you just got some laughter out of the thought of that with him. That was really cool. Before we do Stephen's poem, let's say hello to my sweet. Hello, Sweet Pea. Glad you're here.
Mm. I'm glad I'm here, too. How is everyone?
I'm behind by 25 minutes.
We're doing well. We've had giggles. We've had emotional. We've had a lot of heartfelt poetry already. I can't believe it. We are just about to listen to Stephen's. And I put the stained glass that he chose on the chat wall so you could see it. But I'm really glad that he used the real life photo. So if you guys click on this, I will push his recording.
That'll see it.
Should be right above the picture, the stained glass.
There it is. That's it.
All right. And here we go.
Strider hugs and tugs of war forever now will be no more. By Stephen 76. Lightning speed, cropped tail wags, heavy paws trotting back and forth across backseat upholstery, not wanting to miss seeing all there was on both driver and passenger sides. Happy whines of excitement as salmon-tinted drool dripped off tip of heavy, panting tongue, whole body tottering with anticipation of destination. Eyes full of pure, oblivious mirth, never realizing the cancer was there. That asbestic tumor that choked off air, soon to suffocate. Making every short minute of this ride yours, just as they were before. But this would be your last. Carrying a canine smile and pricked up ears into the white, sterile room, giddy even as the tiny needle entered the fat of your neck. Then you fell asleep. Your soft, furry chest stopped rising. No more tug of war. No more walks. No more. Where's my puppy toenails clacking on the linoleum floor? And I wept. End poem.
Oh, my. You see what I mean about the emotional? I never thought that there would be so many heartfelt emotional pieces coming from the prompts tonight. Especially that end there, where's my puppy toenails clanking on the linoleum floor, and I wept. Sometimes it takes a non-fur baby owner to not understand something like this, because I've heard people, you know, it was a dog or it was a cat or that, but no, it really wasn't. It was a part of the family. And the whines of excitement, eyes full of pure, oblivious mirth, never realizing the cancer was there, making every short minute for this ride yours, just as you were before. Then you fell asleep. Your soft, furry chest stopped rising, and that kicked my butt. I mean, my goodness. Try not to blubber so that you can understand me as I talk. There's something that happens when you lose a pet, just like any other part of your family, and it's just not the same. And you do miss those sounds, like the toenails on the floor. As a matter of fact, for a while, we had toenails that made an appearance on the show quite often when Zephyr was around. So, it's those things that take you there. And you would have thought, you know, all the times that tap, tap, tap would be annoying. Now you'd give anything to hear that tap on the floor. And the thought of watching those last breaths and then it stopped. It's as gut-wrenching as it is, whether you're sitting next to a person or your fur baby. It's just, it's such an emotional poem. I keep going back to those happy whines of excitement, and I could almost hear them because quite often, like if you were gone a long time during a particular day, when you get home, they're so, so happy to see you that they do. They whine their excitement. And he touched my soul with this one. I thank you, Stephen. I get you some comments. Better?
Yeah, this is choked me up too. He looks a lot like my young blue dog, the tricolored Aussie. As far as the greeting, like you were describing, I have a sister-in-law. I'll tell you what. She screamed and yelled at her dogs for being happy to see him, and it just broke my heart. Got me, Dave. Sorry, Stephen. Jeez.
I'm pretty sure that he's got us all. Sweet.
That's not fair. The poem is beautiful. It's an incredible tribute. It's the most difficult thing in the world to lose a dog or any puppy or any animal. I know. As I'm being licked to death because I'm crying. You miss that a lot. And when things just start to slow down and they get quiet. I know you guys haven't heard Amadeus bark a lot lately. As we're actually starting to medicate him a little bit because his sundowners is getting worse and worse. And so sometimes I miss that bark, and it's hard. But it's, you know, those are the little things that you miss. Not that he's not still around and doing all that, but, you know, it's that craziness that you miss, those little tiny things, that yawn or that bark or that toe clacking or that tug of war.
Having to touch her.
You know.
Blue had to be touching me somehow, leaning against me. Right.
Yeah. And when sometimes when it's happening, it's so annoying. You're like, oh, my God, are you ever going to shut up? And then when there's that silence, you don't know what happened. And I think this is done so well, Stephen. It's just perfect. Thanks for sharing.
Awesome comment, sweet. And sorry for mentioning Zephyr, Dave. I just the toenails made me think of those shows. Want to comment?
I know. Yeah, you know, that's fine, Deb. I remember all of us talking about Zephyr's toenails on the floor. You know, I've had dogs since I've been about 8 years old, and I'm 76 now. And I've never been without a dog more than about a year, maybe two at the most. The only time that I was away from any of my dogs was when I was over in Korea when I was in the service. And that was over a year. And when I came home, he never forgot me. He just ran up to me. This brings back so many memories to me. It's losing a dog, I think, is harder than losing a human being. I really do. You can't explain to them what's going on, even though we try. I've always tried real hard, but I don't know. The best thing we can do is just be the best human for them that we can do, because a lot of people don't understand that we are their sole universe. They look to us for their enjoyment, for their security, for their well-being and all that stuff. And you know, to yell and holler at them because they're barking or something, because they're protecting our property. It's just not the right thing to do. And I've been guilty of it myself, but I'm trying to make adjustments to that. This poem, it just brought back so many insidious things about what when your dog reaches this point in his life, you know, making every short minute yours just as they were before, but this would be your last. That, you know, that one, that right there, and then carrying a canine smile and picked up ears into the white sterile room, getting even as the tiny needle entered the fat of your neck, then you fell asleep. You know, I watched this happen with my dogs when I had to have them put down, and it just rips your heart right out of your chest when this happens. I don't know. You can't describe it in words. It's just something that you have to experience. One of my buddies is a real dog man, and he said, people that don't like dogs, there's something wrong with them. And I absolutely positively agree with that. So it's a beautiful right, Stephen.
And people that a dog doesn't trust,
yep.
I don't either. Just saying.
Yeah.
Wayne, what you think?
Yeah.
I said a great tribute to your friend, your best friend. It's amazing how much your buddy looks like the one I had in high school. To find out a pet is dying or died is heartbreaking. It took me a while to get over Speedy passing. I won't tell you what happened, but I understand the emotion of this poem. There's nothing I can say to soften blow, but I know you. I know you're a great owner and a great friend to the dog. Yeah. I have a hard time saying calling a pet a dog, but more than that, they're a friend. Great job with the poem, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. Thank you. Thank you there, Michael.
How did they get 15?
What was that, Hatter?
Nothing. I was talking to Joy. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem. I just thought you were. Okay. Sweet, are you ready, or should I go to the next one first?
No, I'm ready. I just got to put it on the board.
Okay. Yeah. Just put it right on the chat wall, please.
Sorry, my dogs just got put to bed and everything just went crazy. So actually, if you want to go to the next one, and then I'll put it on the board. I'm sorry.
Okay. The next one's Budo's, and I was hoping David could read for us. Is that cool, Dave?
Yes. I'm sorry. I was talking to my mute button. Okay. So
after Paul, we have one by Sweet, and we have a recording by Phil, and we're done for the night. And
okay, so you want me to read? You want me to read Reflections by Budo?
Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, okay, Reflections. As rays of life ebb into Eve's maw, quiet solitude whispers softly, succinctly, I hope I said that. Did you do enough? The question echoes downstream where pomegranate veins, ephemeral, draw down permanence. Trickling indigo flows until there's none. Memories waver in the midst, crimson and copper reflections like colored glass fragments of translucent flora wilting to an invisible breeze. Each portraying a moment in time and then fading into the dying night of lilac and velvet. A transparent smile erupts underneath peacefully in tranquil glow of fulfillment of question in a champagne sunset of content. End poem. Wow. Like that.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I get that. That the question alone at the beginning, did you do enough, took my mind to when you're with a loved one at the end and you're partly their caregiver, and even though tonight's emotional, even though you knew the outcome was inevitable, and you were doing everything you can to care for that person and make the end as easy as possible, you're left with that question, did I do enough? Memories waver in the crimson and copper reflections like colored glass fragments of translucent flora writing to an invisible breeze. I don't want to ask the question on the air, so I won't. I'll have to send an inbox, but I kind of get the feeling where this came from and what inspired the question, did you do enough? And eventually you realized that you did, and that they might not have got to say it, but that they appreciate all you did, and that it did make it easier for them at the end. And my heart wants to say, yes, you did enough. And I can't help it. If it's a loss that I'm thinking, I'm very sorry. But this is an extremely powerful and emotional poem. Each portraying a moment in time and then fading into the dying light of lilac and violet. Gosh, half the poems that for these tonight I wasn't expecting. What a powerhouse of poetry tonight. I've giggled, I've cried, from the emotions I'm stuttering here. Fabulous, powerful poem, Budo. Thank you. It's good to see you back. I appreciate the support for the show, and your poem got to me. David, you read. What you think?
Oh, this was really fantastic. It kind of, you know, when you read the first stanza, they go, "Oh, this is going to be nice." As rays of life ebb into Eve's maw, quiet solitude whispers softly and succinctly. And then the next line says, "Did you do enough?" You know, that sort of turns the poem on to the real storyline. And we always ask ourselves these questions, or at least we should. I think our heart makes us ask this question, I think. Anybody that's worth a hoot. it is a beautiful poem, and I like the adjectives and the metaphors that he used in it. It really ties it into a beautiful piece of sentiment here. I don't know all of the history behind what this poem represents, but it's, you know, I don't have to know it to appreciate it. And Budo's always been a really fine poet. He's a good guitar player too, for that matter. So this was really well done. I liked it. Kind of left me speechless, to be honest.
Yeah, and thank you again for reading, Dave. Dwayne, what do you think?
Okay, I'm trying to catch my emotional beer. This is another emotional poem. I've had these feelings lately. I lost a guy I was caring for a week ago Saturday. Great poem.
Thank you, Wayne. Hatter? Hatter, are you muted?
Yeah, I was getting my dinner served to me.
Did you want to comment, or should I go to sleep?
I walked out of the room. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to finish my comment now. Give me a second. I was caring for a guy.
Okay,
last Saturday. He passed away last Saturday. A friend of mine did, and I was taking care of him, and I just stood there and watched him pass, and I missed him a lot. He was a nice guy. He had a whole point about him, and he was a good friend, and watching a friend pass, you always wonder what you could have done about it, but there's not much you can do. Once the guy what? Great point.
Well, Wayne, since you brought it up, the other night when I said on the phone that Wayne was my hero because of a poem he sent. That was what he was talking about, someone he helped take care of that he lost. And Wayne, you're still my hero. Sweet?
Yeah, I think this last year, you know, we all know what I've gone through over the last, you know, 6-7 months doing what I've done, and Deb, you helped me through that a lot, and I asked that question I don't know how many times to you, and you're definitely a support there for me. So it's definitely a poem that bears a lot of emotion for anybody that's been at that end when you're taking care of someone and you want to make sure that everything you do is the right choice and the right decision and the right moment, and you get tired and you wear out as a human being, and you're like, I can't do that, and you just wonder if you're good enough and you're smart enough and you're compassionate enough and you have enough empathy, and it really is, are you enough? Did I do enough? And I thought that was an amazing piece of work.
Awesome comment. And yeah, I remember our conversations then, sweet. And just like you wrote on the board for Wayne, and like I just said for Budo, and I know you did enough, my sweet. You did more than most, and you should be proud of yourself. Okay. Your poem is on the board, dear heart.
As I caught the eye of a dragonfly, my pain screamed. I caught the eye of a dragonfly. In my ear he whispered, fly away with me if you believe you'll find diamonds in your teardrops. There are oceans and mud puddles, and little white lies harm the world around us. Flying through the wind inside the silence, weave between the in-between among the masters of the mysteries. Watching butterflies and fireflies learn to zig and zag as fish bob below and above the seas of green. Listening to the birds sing in tunes of melancholy. Passing imps and gnomes weaving the tapestries of magic as storybooks came alive with knights on horses fighting dragons for queens. I giggled in remembrance. I sat upon his wing until my pain silenced. I now believed in marvelous things, for you are the ocean, the queen, the songs of melancholy. I caught the eye of a dragonfly and found diamonds in my teardrops in poem.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, I guess.
My pain screamed. I caught the eye of a dragonfly. In my ear, he whispered, fly away with me if you believe you'll find diamonds in your teardrops. What a gorgeous sentiment. You'll find diamonds in your teardrops. My goodness. Watching butterflies and fireflies learn to zig and zag as fish bobbed below and above the sea of green, listening to the birds sing tunes of melancholy. My goodness. In the end there, I sat upon his wings until my pain silenced. I now believe in marvelous things, for you are the ocean, the queen, come the songs of melancholy. I caught the eye of a dragonfly and found diamonds in my teardrops. Sweet, this is stunning, to use one of your words. I love how you started and ended with catching the dragonfly, and I love that you ended it with finding those diamonds in your teardrops. And some of the visuals throughout this, my goodness, fly through the wind inside the silence, weaved between the in-between among the masters of the mysteries. And I just think another poem. And I almost don't want to say this part because, you know, it's so gorgeous, but wow, no darkness as far as, like, nobody ripped anybody's head off or anything. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little so I don't cry. My goodness.
I've done a lot of that lately, so enough, enough.
Yeah, no.
I
love when you bring one of the many sides of my suite, and this side is stunning. The visuals, the feeling, the emotion, the message, and that ending. Again, I caught the eye of a dragonfly and found diamonds in my teardrops. So
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Wow, sweet.
Thank you very much.
Dave, what do you think?
Oh, gosh. Wow, where do I start? I'm a big fan of dragonflies. I've always liked them. And I used to go fishing down at Willamette River, right down below my house there. And in the summertime, it'd get kind of low and the water would get real warm. You could go swimming in it if you want to. And these dragonflies would come down there and they'd buzz around over the top of the water, you know. And then I remember sitting there one time and a couple of these sapphire blue guys that were about 2 inches long, one of them went on my knee and he just sat there. And I didn't swat him off or anything. I just was fascinated looking at him, you know. And I don't know. I just I really like this. Caught the eye of a dragonfly. That's really cool. It's really cool. I love the way the way this poem is worded and its storyline. I'm gonna tell you guys a little brief thing. If you want to hear a really cool tune, Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush did a song called Dragonfly, and it's fabulous. It is just fabulous, and you should go listen to it. Anyway, it's just beautiful. I really like this poem, Pam. You did a really fine job on it.
Thank you very much, David.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yeah, there's some emotion here tonight. It's amazing. Your poem is lovely, and it touched me deeply. I know your pain, and I like the line where you said, I sit upon his wing till my pain silenced. It's that's simply a wonderful line. Thanks, sweet. I need this poem tonight. Great job.
You're welcome, Wayne.
Fabulous comment. And Hatter, can you comment, or are you chewing?
I'm chewing.
No problem. Okay. So there's only one more poem, and then we will push the shows that are coming up, unless you need to do yours before the poem.
I am not going to be doing a show this week, and I hate to tell you this right now, but I meant to tell you last week. Thursday night is my son's 40th birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to him, and I wouldn't be doing a show either. Not a problem at all. Okay. Well, then let's click on Phil the Poet and listen to his beautiful voice read for us, and then we'll do some pushing of shows and the closeout. So let me know when you guys see the link.
I'm ready when you are.
Okay. And Wayne had to go, or his call dropped. All right, here we go. Here comes Phil the Poet.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called A Peacock's Lament, the sad and lonely voice of one seeking love. From the branches of a tree he sings to the stars above. His coat of many colors glimmering in the moonlight, his melancholic song vibrating the strings of the night. He calls with longing to be loved, but hears no reply, just the raindrops falling on a rooftop nearby. Stretches his neck, looking eagerly for a sign, where the grains of sand pass through the hands of time. his turquoise and royal blue raiment hides the hurt inside. All the loneliness has distorted his self-proclaimed pride. No female listens to his gentlemanly charms. He's chased from every tavern for singing his psalms. Picking himself up and dusting down his tails, pecking at the flustered emotions which impales the fragments of a storm-tossed, ruptured heart, the artist suffering terribly for the sake of his art, holding on to the mournful note with a quivering cry. No answer comes. He hangs his head and wants to die. Spreads his wings, taking flight, heading for the moon, envelops himself in the night's starry cocoon. End poem.
Wow. If you look on the board, you'll see the gorgeous stained glass art that he chose, which of course is tied to the title. The sad and lonely voice of one seeking love. From the branches of a tree, he sings to the stars above, his coat of many colors glimmering in the moonlight, his melancholic song vibrating the strings of the night. You know, I like the play on the coat of many colors there. And the emotion in the very first stanza was another one where, you know, I never in my wildest dreams expected all these beautiful stained glass pieces of art to evoke so much emotion in everyone. But like everybody totally blew this prompt out of the park. Each poem in its own way was a complete masterpiece. Like I said, from beautiful forms to giggles to, I mean, we were flat out crying more than once, to tributes, to loss, to love. What a fabulous bunch of poems. Second to the last stanza there, picking himself up and dusting down his tails, pecking at the flustered emotions which impales the fragments of a storm-tossed, ruptured heart, the artist suffering terribly for the sake of his art. And, you know, sometimes that's what it comes down to. The artist is suffering so severely that it shows on the canvas, just like our suffering as a poet shows in the words on the page. I think that this piece is amazing. His recording, it's always a treat to get to listen to him read for us. I know I've said it before, but it's been a while. Nothing's quite the same as when we stopped having to read and got to hear his voice instead, which we don't mind. I don't want that to sound wrong, because we don't mind reading for other poets, but there's just nothing quite like hearing that poet read their own words. This is a beautiful poem, Phil. I appreciate your support of the show and your creativity and your reading voice very much. Thank you. And what do you think?
Did you say me, Deb?
Sweet.
I agree with you. He just said sweet, Dave. It's my dad. Sorry. It's a master of imagery. He's a creative genius, a killer storyteller, and Amadeus agrees with me 100%. He loves to listen to Phil's voice. I mean, this is just stunning, beautiful. It moves you, and the ending is just, I mean, it's just killer. It's so almost, literally, you just want to cry for everything. His wings taking flight, heading for the moon, and envelopes himself into the night's starry cocoon. What a great ending. It's like romantic and like dying on his sword, kind of old school Shakespearean moment. I just really love that ending.
Awesome comment. And Dave, what do you think?
Well, I like the last two stanzas in this poem very much. Picking himself up and dusting down his tails, pecking at the flustered emotions which impales the fragment of a storm-tossed, ruptured heart, the artist suffering terribly for the sake of his art. That last line in that stanza is amazing. Suffering terribly for the sake of his art. You know, it's you can almost be self-destructive with what you desire and try to get out of life. And some people push it over the edge. But holding on to the mournful note with a quivering cry, no answer comes. He hangs his head and wants to die. And spreads his wings, taking flight, heading for the moon. Envelops himself in night's starry cocoon. Peacocks are a really unusual bird, and you know, they don't behave like we expect them a normal bird to behave. They're way different, and I've been around quite a few of them, and I think this poem is really well done. I like the way he wrote it. I like the way he read it too. So I have to say, well done again.
Awesome comment. And I know that Hatter's eating, so I will just say.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, you want to comment for Phil?
Yeah, I'm assuming that Phil took song of a peacock at night from another peacock's point of view, because there's nothing melancholic about song that they scream. He did a very good job on relating that sorrowful sound. I remember we switched ganders out of two gaggles, and when we switched them, there's a barrier between them, they couldn't get through, and all night long the geese would just, there was this mournful, sorrowful call back and forth across the compound. So he did a good job there. And peacocks are a weird bird.
Awesome comment, Hatter. Wow, what a show. Like I said, I never expect it to go from giggles to tears, but what can I say? That's the caliber of poets that we hang out with around here. My oh my. Okay, so first let me tell you guys that I put the link on the board for my show next week. It's The Beauty in Fall Colors, and I have all kinds of different art that contains colors from fall. Not necessarily a fall scene. It might just be a redhead with some butterflies around her. but there are some fall scenes. There's some really pretty art. There's a lightning storm where the sky's got golden oranges and stuff. It's just a collection of stuff I found with those colors. And I'm sure there's something there that'll tickle your muse, like a maybe a guitar that looks a little bit like a beach scene, and we do know we have a guitar player in the room, but there are all kinds of different choices. So thumb through the art and see which one screams at you the loudest, and then dazzle me with your brilliance like you always do. That's next Monday at 10. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you. If I do say so myself, Monday's one of my favorite nights, too, because I get to hang out with all of you. Now, I'm going to tell you about Tuesday and Wednesday. Both shows are with the Sky Darkholm, and they both start at 8 o'clock. And I'm saying this tentatively because she hasn't been feeling very well, so we will see if she's feeling up to it. But just in case, I will tell you that tomorrow night is really random stuff with Ms. Darkholm, stuff that she finds, she calls it down the tube, but that she finds on YouTube. She's got information on the legend of the dodo bird. She's got a bovarissus, which is an alligator-ish, crocodile-ish looking kind of guy. And then she has this prompt called the Tales of the Mediterranean Islands. And in the pictures there, she's got some really different critters. One's sort of a rat looking. One's an owl. One's a giant, huge hamster. So check out those. They're always fascinating. She really does come up with some really random stuff, but it's always very cool. And then she's back on Wednesday, also at 8, with Swan Lake, the 1981 storyboards. Looks like a comic book, and she's got some great art throughout there. You can write on the art, you can write on the quote, you can write on the characters, any way that it speaks to you. And we are off on Thursday night because Sweet will be celebrating her wonderful son's birthday. On Friday night, we join Linda on Liquid Damage Lounge at 10 p.m. Eastern for open poetry. And on Saturday night at 9 with me and Hatter and AP, the topic is fathers, dads, daddies, wherever that takes you. That's what we'd like to hear from you. So those are the next several days and the art for Monday. And with that being said, I want to thank my amazing board members, Sweet Pea and Hatter and AP, AP Taylor, who is also our sponsor on the shows. And I want to thank Angel and Phil and Steven and LG Mace and Wayne and Budo and David. I appreciate you all. I'm pretty much in awe of the work you bring each week. I mean, you're amazing poets. I hope you know that. But more so, you're amazing people. And sometimes I feel like you don't get told that enough. So just know that I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You make my shows a special place that I look forward to. Even when I'm grumpy or not feeling at my best, I get into the room and time flies and you blow me away with these amazing poems that you bring. I appreciate you all very, very much, and wouldn't be the same without any one of you. And I guess on that note, I am going to shoot. I don't even know what to play. I'm going to come over here, and I have this song that.
Hey, Deb.
Yeah.
Were you saying you were looking for some music?
To play us out with? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I've got that song Dragonfly by Frank Marino. I got it in let's see. There it is. I'm sent you the link to it in there. You can click on it. It's on YouTube, and it's an MP4 thing, I think. So it's a good song. I think you'd like it. Thank you.
instrumental is by none other than Mr. David Prophet. Couldn't help but go out with that song or that music since it's called Blondie, and I just happened to mention Blondie, which he calls his guitar, a few moments ago.
Thank you
for the music, David. Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
The show, everyone. Love and respect. See you next week.